following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
So a week from tomorrow, the Bears are on the clock with the third overall pick in the 2017 NFL Draft. Hi, everyone. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. And before we can make a prediction on who the Bears are going to take with that third overall pick, you got to know who's going 1-2. And according to everyone who's got a mock draft out there in the country, every expert that you talk to, there will not be a surprise at one. It'll be the Texas A&M pass rusher, Myles Garrett, going to the Cleveland Browns at one. The question, though, Tom, becomes at two, because before you can say the Bears are going to pick this guy at three, you got to know who the 49ers are taking with the second overall pick.
And you're not going to know that because they don't have a reputation to follow. You don't know what John Lynch is all about, the first-time general manager for the San Francisco 49ers. And Kyle Shanahan, we know nothing about him being the first-time head coach. But what we do know about him is John Lynch is a former defensive player, a former great safety. Kyle Shanahan is influenced on the offensive side of the football. So I think that adds to even more question marks on who the San Francisco 49ers are going to take. But now when you look at their depth chart going into this portion of the season and you think Brian Hoyer as probably their go-to quarterback at this time, and then they have Matt Barkley behind him in terms of the depth, to me, what is the most important position for a football team to success, not only this year in the first year of Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, but for years down the road? And I would have to consider quarterback. But now we've been preached to all year about how weak the quarterback draft is this year. So is there a player out there, defensively speaking, that will be more of an influence to John Lynch than an offensive player will be to Kyle Shanahan?
Jim, what do you think?
I think it's, both teams have made it clear this week that they're open for business. I believe Sashi Brown, the vice president of the Cleveland Browns, he made a statement that, yeah, we fielded calls at one. So what does that mean? It means that one is available. If they're saying John Lynch, he said, hey, we're open for business. So, hey, give us a call. And so the teams that are up there potentially may not be selecting. We've seen that in the past few drafts, certainly when Washington – traded up all those picks with the Rams to get RG3. We saw Tennessee and the Rams do that last year, and then here the Rams end up taking Jared Goff, number one overall. So there's always those curveballs, and certainly these teams will want to have all their ducks in a row to find out where these draft picks fall.
Jim, do you think quarterback position is still the most haunting of all of Cleveland Browns picks? Because even in their past, they've had an opportunity to pick defensive ends that have also failed them equally as bad. But when you look at the profile of the quarterback position, is that still the most haunting background of the Cleveland Browns?
I think so. I think because if you don't have one, it's tough to win in the National Football League. In Cleveland, and we've mentioned it before, they've passed up some good guys. Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Wentz last year from North Dakota State. So that position has haunted them all the way back since Tim Couch. Tim Couch, realistically, when they drafted him first round out of Kentucky, he was working, man. That guy was proven to be a pretty good quarterback. He actually led him to the playoffs. People forget that about Tim Couch, and then he shredded his shoulder. And it just has been south after that. That position has not been productive for the Cleveland Browns. And I think the other quarterbacks that have panned out that they passed over, I think it has haunted Browns fans.
No question about it. But I also take a look at Von Miller, for example. He got his helmet back from the Super Bowl a couple of years ago when they won the championship today. And what strikes me is if you select the pass rusher the right way, a guy, if you correctly identify who that pass rusher is, that guy can influence a football game just as much as a great quarterback. And Von Miller did that entire season. That's the reason the Broncos ended up winning the championship. So why would you give up that position if you're Cleveland? You would take Myles Garrett. They've got a boatload of picks, including later on in the first round. They got number 12 overall in the draft. They can bunch up picks if they need to and trade up to get a quarterback if they feel that that's something they need as well.
One thing about Myles Garrett is if you look at Von Miller and you look at Reggie White, Both of them were extremely special in different aspects of their game. Von Miller, there's not a offensive tackle that can backpedal out of his stance fast enough to block him single-handedly a whole game. And Reggie White is so powerful and that there's not an offensive tackle that can really man him man-to-man the entire game. And you have greatness in the two opposite ends of the spectrum.
All right, let's go out to the phone lines because here's a guy who can help us understand where these players are ranked overall by most of these teams. And I'm talking about the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Phil Savage, who used to be an NFL GM, an assistant coach, a scout. He's done everything in the world of football that you can possibly do. And Phil Savage joins us now here on Bears All Access. Phil, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Hope you're doing well. Thank you.
We're doing fantastic as well. And we started talking about what the Browns could potentially end up doing at one. And they need a quarterback, but they need help across the board. Are all these mock drafts right where Myles Garrett is the definite number one overall pick next week?
Well, I think the mock drafts are accurate on this one. It's hard to fathom that the Browns, with so many picks, would opt to move out of that spot. They don't really need any more picks. They need to pick the right players. And Myles Garrett is most likely the most talented player in this draft. He's got a huge upside. His tapes don't match what he might look like in two or three years, that's for sure. But he's 6'5", he's 270-plus pounds, he jumped 40 inches, he ran sub-4.6, and every coach in the NFL that works with the defensive line or as a defensive coordinator would want to roll the dice on this kind of player. So I think the Browns will, in fact, take him. And then I think at pick 12, they'll really assess the board and figure out which quarterback they like the most and perhaps move back into that top 10 to take the QB that they like the best. Now, again, the Browns have not had a lot of luck doing that. I was part of the team and headed it up when we made the move up to take Brady Quinn after we had selected Joe Thomas in the top five. And, you know, again, the philosophy there was take the best available player and then we'll try to address the quarterback situation. And I think that's the way the Browns will have to address it one more time.
Phil, I'm kind of more interested to talk to you about some of the talent from the Senior Bowl because you have such a great opportunity to put those rosters together. In just two guys, offense and defensive player, you look at Zach Banner, the offensive tackle from USC, 6'8 plus, 350 pounds plus. And then you look at Melifonwu, the safety out of Connecticut, who's a 6'4 safety, 224 pounds. When you're looking at the talent, do sometimes like the guy's stature and their structure, do you want to put him in the competition to see how that pans out? Because, you know, watching the entire Senior Bowl week of practice and then the game itself, those two guys are so intriguing just because of their size alone, according to their position.
Yeah, Zach Banner, he's the Wall of China. I mean, he is a true giant. The downside with Zach is that he's a one-position player. He's strictly a right tackle, so you would have to be a team that has a need on the right side. You're not going to get any position versatility out of him. And he's not particularly nimble, but he's so big and has such a radius for people to have to run around. At times he was effective at USC. And I think the scouts are split on Banner. I think there's some that have the school of thought that he can play right tackle in the league. There's others that are going to opt to go a different direction. With Obi Melifonwu, yeah, he's sort of on a different end of the spectrum. Yes, he's really sizable for safety, 6'4", 220, but his test numbers at the combine were off the chart. He jumped beyond 11 feet in the broad jump. He's a four-year starter at UConn. I just think, you know, in the Northeast, sometimes it's hard for those players to get a lot of recognition. UConn hasn't been that good of a team in recent years. But when you watch him, he's a willing tackler. One thing he did at the Senior Bowl is he actually jumped out and played some corner that week, so that showed even more coverage versatility. And the way the game is changing, where you have to defend against the third wide out in the slot, cover the tight end down the middle of the field, I think Obi brings a really intriguing package of traits to the NFL. I think he's going to go higher than people anticipated back in January. He might even slip into the bottom of the first round, but certainly no later than a second-round choice for somebody.
Hey, Phil, Jim Miller here. Thanks for joining us. You do such a great job at the Reese's Senior Bowl. I just want to go back. The rosters are 110, and about 90% of these guys are going to get drafted. And the way you structure that bowl game, it's reflective of what NFL executives are looking for. And I just go back because the Bears had the opportunity to coach the game. Jacksonville has in the past. How about Dallas last year with Dak Prescott and how that worked out for Dallas? But maybe just talk about how the teams that are coaching the game, whether it's Cleveland or Chicago this year, maybe get some inside information about potential candidates who they're thinking about selecting.
Yeah, Mills, I think if you handle the game the proper way and keep it in the context that, hey, we're going to have access to 55 of the draft-eligible players within the framework of the 300 or 400 that ultimately we'll evaluate for our draft board. You have to keep that in mind. I thought that the Bears did a nice job in terms of the way they handle the players. The way they, you know, move some of the linemen around to give them a different look at different positions, the way they move some of the defensive backs around, again, to give more exposure to the players. But there's no doubt the way that each day is structured, the club, the Bears, and in this case the Browns, they have access to their team pretty much throughout the morning for meetings and then in the afternoons for practice. And then at night, the other 30 teams have access to the players for interviews. So, relatively speaking, the ratio of time is an advantage for the Bears and the Browns to be around these players, not only on the practice field and in the meeting room, but during the meal times, at breakfast, at lunch. You can find out more about the player's personality, how he interacts with his teammates, what his study habits are in the classroom. And so you can really get some nice intel in that way. And I'll tell a quick story. On Friday, we actually switched the teams. We do what we call a team swap on Friday. And last year, the Cowboys did not have Dak Prescott on their team. The Jaguars actually coached Dak. And on that Friday, they met with Dak during that team swap. And when he walked away from the table, they said, "There's something special and unique about that kid. We need to make sure we really know him." And really, their intrigue began on that Friday swap, and the Bears and the Browns did the same thing this year.
Hey, Phil, to clear it up for me and the listening audience, what the information that the Chicago Bears coaches are giving these players that are at the Senior Bowl and the Browns coaches giving the other team, is it information of their offense and their defense, or is it a Senior Bowl game plan that you're giving to these players?
No, there's definitely a framework in terms of what you can do personnel-wise. Say, for example, on offense, you can't play four wide receivers in the game. You have a tight end in the game at all times. So we have a couple different personnel groupings. On defense, they can play a base personnel, base package, and a nickel package. But then the clubs within the framework of that can put their own lingo. They can install their own terminology over the course of the week, and the two teams did it that way this year. Last year, the Cowboys did something extremely unique. They did not give the players a playbook. They actually gave the players a blank notebook, and they installed their stuff during the week to put the players to the test with who was taking notes, who was really paying attention, who could take it from the board to the notepad, to the walkthrough, to the practice. And I thought that was a unique way to approach it. And I think other teams will probably do it that way in the future.
Visiting with the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Phil Savage, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Phil, I know that coming into the Senior Bowl, there are always some guys who enter in a nondescript fashion, and people aren't talking about them. They're not on the radar. And then once the week transpires and into the game, there's several guys that kind of stand out, and then they continue to ascend from that point forward. Can you share some of the names of guys that have impressed you from the beginning of that first week of practice at the Senior Bowl to guys that could potentially end up perhaps going in the first round because of everything that they've done putting in the work?
Well, the obvious answer is Hassan Reddick from Temple. I saw him on a Thursday night during the season. Temple played Memphis, and he was playing defensive end at about 230, 235 pounds. And after the pregame warm-up, I spoke to the head coach at that time, Matt Rule, who's now down at Baylor, and I said, hey, Matt, this kid's built like a linebacker, a will. What would you think about us inviting him as a linebacker? He said, Phil, I think that's his ultimate position in the league. So we invited Hassan about a week before the reporting date. His agent called and said, hey, he's got some reservations about playing linebacker on his feet. What do you think? And I said, well, just let me talk to him when he gets here. So I talked to him on that Sunday night before we got started. I said, look, I think it'll show so much versatility, and really this is where your future is. And, Jim, you can attest to this. He put on an absolute show. For somebody that had never played box linebacker, he showed instincts, speed to the perimeter, coverage ability. He blitzed from depth, and he was a great kid off the field. And now you see Hassan virtually in every mock draft, in most cases in the top 20. He's the guy in our game that elevated his draft stock more than anybody else. I thought Zay Jones from East Carolina, the receiver, did as well. And then Tyus Bowser, outside backer from the University of Houston, former basketball player. Now, they weren't Ty Slamajama in recent years, but he was on the Houston basketball team. He's a hybrid outside backer, pass rusher. I think there's a chance that he might get in the first round. If not, he's certainly going to go in the top 50 of this draft.
And Zach, as Phil can attest to, Hassan Reddick was just, he was awesome during the weekend, why he has garnered so much attention. But Phil, it's more than that. There's the third, the fourth, the fifth round. There are gems there at the Reese's Senior Bowl. Look at Dak Prescott. He was a fourth rounder out of Mississippi State. David Johnson, third rounder out of Northern Iowa. Nobody knew about. He bursts onto the scene for the Arizona Cardinals. Then, of course, the best one for last, Richard Sherman, fifth round pick, who shows up midweek at the Reese's Senior Bowl and is an absolute star for the Seattle Seahawks. Maybe just touch on some of the diamonds in the rough that you think really could surprise in the middle rounds.
Yeah, Jim, you know, we're going to have a slew of players go in that second to fifth round area. I think last year, within the first five rounds, almost about 40 to 45% of the draft was represented by players that were in our game. So, you know, it's a great scouting venue. You get a chance to see players compete against each other. You know, a couple guys that I think are noteworthy, you know, Dalvin Tomlinson, defensive lineman from Alabama, you know, overshadowed by Jonathan Allen and Reuben Foster and O.J. Howard. But all he does is show up every single day. Great person off the field, has overcome the adversity of losing both parents during his life, losing, having both ACLs torn, one in high school, one in college. And I think he's going to be about a third-round pick, be in a rotation for somebody, and ultimately be a good pro. I thought our tight ends this year were excellent. You know, O.J. Howard got all the attention, but Evan Ingram's probably going to go in the second round out of Ole Miss. I think he'll be a significant player for somebody. Jeremy Sprinkle from Arkansas, Jonnu Smith from Florida International. I mean, these are guys that you'd have to be a real hardcore college fan to know who they are, but these are kids that are going to get drafted in that third to sixth round area that end up making teams and probably contributing as rookies in a certain role.
Our final few moments with Phil Savage, the executive director of the Senior Bowl here on Bears All Access. And Phil, you had to do this once in your lifetime, and you know that all the other GMs in the National Football League are doing it too. You have to take these quarterbacks who aren't running pro-style offenses and kind of project how they will do in the National Football League. When we look back 5 years from now at this draft, who do you think is going to be the quarterback that everyone's talking about?
That's about an $80 million question by the time we get to a second contract for whoever that quarterback is going to be. And it is a difficult question to answer because it's tougher than ever to forecast how these quarterbacks are going to make what I call a quantum leap from college football to the pro game. It's the same sport, but it's two different games. I do the color for Alabama on Saturdays, go to a number of NFL games on Sunday, and it's like I'm in totally two different worlds. And, you know, some guys that I like, and I tell you, a kid that's fallen off sort of the map, a year ago when everybody was putting out their way too early mock drafts for 2017, it was Deshaun Watson and Brad Kaya from Miami, Florida. Now you can't find him in the top seven, if not the top eight of the quarterbacks this year. For my money, as a third, fourth, fifth round try, I think he's a guy that might emerge down the road. He's a pure passer of the ball. He had a turf toe issue this year. He's not run a 40. People have beat him up about his 40 time and his lack of mobility in the pocket. But to me, he'd be a guy I'd be willing to roll the dice on in the mid-round and see where he is in the next 12 to 18 months.
Phil, great comprehensive stuff. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, guys. It's good to catch up with Mills and his hometown team, Chicago Bears. Even though
that's
I know
right.
Michigan.
Bear down, Phil. Bear down.
Great
you
stuff.
You guys be good. I appreciate it.
You too. Take care. Phil Savage, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access. So you just heard him talk about the quantum leap that these college quarterbacks have to take to have success in the NFL. But they're going to go in the first round. The question is where, when, and who is going to be the first quarterback taken in the 2017 NFL draft next week? We'll ask Jim Miller next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Join us 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Don't miss any of the NFL draft excitement. The 2017 Miller Lite Chicago Bears Draft Party, brought to you by PNC, is Thursday, April 27th at Soldier Field. Tickets are on sale now at ChicagoBears.com. So that's a week from tomorrow, the beginning of the NFL Draft Round 1. Bears are on the clock for the third overall pick. We just spoke with the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Phil Savage, and he agrees with every mock draft that you've seen throughout the offseason that Myles Garrett, the talented pass rusher from Texas A&M, will likely be the number one overall pick, and he believes that Cleveland will stick with that pick and take Garrett. So the question now becomes, and I think it's the most important question as we look at the Bears heading into that third overall pick, what do the 49ers do at two? Because, Tom, you talked about it. They've got Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley as their quarterbacks right now on the roster. They have a head coach in Kyle Shanahan who's had a lot of success with different quarterbacks throughout his NFL career, whether it was in Washington when he worked with his dad and Robert Griffin III was his quarterback and immediately had success in the NFL, or last year when he was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta and Matt Ryan was an MVP. So when you look at the 49ers, do you rank the quarterback ahead of what very well could be the best defensive player on the board at number two?
Well, you know, I think if the San Francisco 49ers had Mike Shanahan as their head coach, and you look at what he likes in the quarterback, and it's versatility and being able to get outside the pocket, and there it makes me think immediately of Deshaun Watson. But then if you look at Kyle Shanahan and what quarterback has he had success with, and Matt Ryan from the Atlanta Falcons, then it makes me think of Trubisky. So, you know, again, you got to think of what type of styles are they thinking offensively and what do they need out of the quarterback to think that's our route to success. But then there's a lot of things you have to see. What were they doing in college? Did they go to the line of scrimmage every single play and look to the sideline to get the play called at the last minute? Or were these guys listening to terminology coming to them from the sideline, then using that terminology in the huddle, and then understanding what it meant according to every assignment on the field?
So, Jim, really, a question that we haven't asked that we should. If you're picking in the top five, like the Bears are, and everyone you talk, you just heard Phil Savage say that it's a quantum leap. You've had to make that leap as a player going from college to the NFL. Can you afford to take a quarterback in the top five if you have to wait at least a year for that quarterback to develop?
Well, it's interesting because that used to be the old philosophy. You know, I still believe today a lot of these quarterbacks play by happenstance. You know, we brought it up about Joe Flacco. Troy Smith gets tonsillitis. Joe Flacco's thrown in there. Tommy Maddox gets hurt for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hello, Ben Roethlisberger. You know, it's just kind of how it worked. Last year, Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo gets hurt. Well, there, Dak Prescott now is forced and impressed into action on the field. A lot of times it's happenstance. They do not want to play these quarterbacks right away. Even look, it took till mid-year, till Jared Goff got on the field for the Rams. So I think if you don't have a quarterback, you need to think about taking one. And in terms of list of, hey, is it a quarterback or is it a pass rusher, the left tackle, and just how you rank who goes first, I mean, to me, it starts with quarterback. You're not winning anything if you don't have a good decision maker underneath the center. You're trying to get him there, settle him in, and mold him to be the player you want him to be. I don't think anybody expects any quarterback that they draft is going to be an instant Hall of Famer, so to speak, or go to Pro Bowls like what Dak Prescott performed a year ago, because even the Cowboys didn't think he would.
Jim,
because
I'm going to...
If everybody did, they would have taken him in the first round.
Sorry, Jim. I'm going to make you the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Do you have a quarterback in Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley, or do you have two people that are going to come there to compete for their roster position and you're ultimately looking for that quarterback? So do you have the luxury of waiting a year, or do you need a quarterback right now, or do you think Brian Hoyer is a guy that can maybe hold down the fort for three seasons?
I think Brian is a guy who's the starter right now that is a good guy to bring along. That's why he was in place in Cleveland. They drafted Johnny Manziel, and Hoyer was there to really just hold down the fort until they felt Johnny Manziel was able to step on the field. Ultimately, what were they? I think 7-4 at the time, and they ended up turning the reins over to Johnny Manziel. So I think that's kind of the thinking with Brian Hoyer. He goes into the season as the starter, and they're ultimately grooming their franchise quarterback. Now, is it Trubisky at two? Is it Deshaun Watson at two? At some point, even if they trade down and still select a quarterback, because John Lynch said they're open for business, I think ultimately, you know, down the road, they plan on another player playing that position. It'll be ultimately somebody they draft. If they miss out on it, then it's something that'll have to be attacked next year. But I think they will be taking a quarterback here in this year's draft.
All right, at the end of the season, what type of taste did Matt Barkley leave with you? Did he give you the feeling, because we heard all this stuff that Matt Barkley would have been considered a first, second rounder if he wouldn't have gone through the issues that he had in college and stuff, or injuries.
He hurt his shoulder.
Yeah, whatever. The shoulder injury. But when you look at the way he concluded the season, how did you come away with your evaluation of him and his future?
Yeah, I think it's not how you start, it's how you finish. I thought he was a pleasant surprise when he stepped in and was forced into action for the Chicago Bears. But then at the end, the decision-making. You know, I say it all the time, it is easier to lose a game in the NFL with one bad decision than it is to win a game, because that's ultimately your job. You're getting every snap, which is about 75 from the center, and you're making a decision every single time you touch that football. So I thought the decision-making towards the end was ultimately what did him in for his time in Chicago.
Now, we keep hearing that the 49ers are open for business, but you could say the same thing about the Bears. I'm sure any team that's had issues the last couple of years, you want multiple picks in order to help you. That would mean a trade down. But in order to trade down, there has to be something or someone that a team wants to trade up for, and that would be a quarterback. And both teams, you could make a case, need a quarterback, so I don't see the trade down as a realistic possibility. What happens if the 49ers take a quarterback at two? What do the Bears do at three? We'll mull around the possibilities defense next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. This week on Inside the Bears, Tom, you're going to like this. Quarterback Mike Glennon makes one of his first losses as a Bear at Wrigley Field.
Tosses.
I didn't write this. It says tosses.
It's tosses.
It was also a loss, but he had nothing to do with it. The Cubs did lose the game. But anyway, watch it. He had a lot of fun. Man, he's so imposing on the mound. You don't realize how tall he is until you see him throwing out that first pitch. He's a big quarterback.
I saw him interviewed. He says he doesn't have a great deal of baseball in his background. It's more of throwing the football.
Yeah, remember when he was on the show? Remember when he was on the show, Jim, and I asked him, you know, how come a guy this big, 6'6", how come you're not a basketball player? He goes, if you would have seen my athleticism on the basketball floor, you'd understand why I'm a quarterback.
Heck, on the mound, he's a right-handed Randy Johnson, probably bringing the heat.
So. It's true. By the way, Pernell McPhee also on This Week on Inside the Bears. Pernell McPhee is honored by his teammates with a notable award, and receiver Kendall Wright explains why he's ready to dive headfirst into the Bears offseason program. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. Now, Jim, before the break, we were talking about what would the 49ers, and we know that Brian Hoyer right now is their guy, but they don't really have a quarterback of the future. So it's a realistic possibility that the 49ers take a quarterback at two. And if they do, do you think we'll see a run at the quarterback position beginning at three? And does that help the Bears?
Yeah, I think it makes logical sense for all the reasons that we've talked about. And we believe that four could potentially go in the first round. And could there be a fifth that goes at the quarterback spot? Because what team in the early part of the second round is going to say, you know, we want to know what? We just got to get up there and take a quarterback. You know, and teams have done that before, i.e. Minnesota, when they traded into the first round to get that Teddy Bridgewater, right? So because you want that fifth year option. So I do think it's possible. Or the teams are serious about, hey, trading down, and what team would be interested in trading up, and maybe they can get where they feel is a more appropriate spot to get their quarterback. But that's playing a game of roulette, is my opinion. If you like the guy and you believe he's the guy and you're all in, you may as well just take him. And I think that could happen, you know, because if you start, let's say San Francisco, you know, is unable to trade down, that could potentially happen, whether it's Trubisky or Watson goes there at number two, and then Chicago certainly is going to have a choice. And you ask, hey, who would potentially trade up? Certainly we know Chicago would, like the cornerback spot, all the positions of need we talk about. Maybe Chicago can trade down with, say, a team like the Chargers, who maybe are smitten with Malik Hooker, right? He's a rangy safety like some believe an Earl Thomas type of player. Maybe that's what the Chargers want and Gus Bradley wants, who's their new defensive coordinator, and Bears are able to move down that from that standpoint. Or Jacksonville, I think the Bears are in a good spot to potentially trade down, because to me, a team like Carolina would want a guy like Leonard Fournette, and I think Jacksonville likes Leonard Fournette. So would they be willing to trade up with the Chicago Bears? So there's all sorts of scenarios that can really happen, because even if the Bears trade down a couple of spots like to where the Chargers are, they still are going to get a really good player, whether it's O.J. Howard, maybe it's Jamal Adams. You know, if a quarterback is taking it too, that pushes Solomon Thomas down. It pushes all those good players down that are good defensive players up at the top.
It amazes me, because at the end of the football season, the end of the college football season and the bowl season, the quarterback position was probably the most criticized of any position in leading up to the draft this year. So there's 21 quarterbacks that are being evaluated coming out of college this year. And it seemed like there was a lot of emphasis put on the guys that you could get in the second, third rounds that may be able to develop in the quarterbacks of the future, whether it's your guy Peterman, Josh Dobbs from Tennessee, Davis Webb, all these guys that you're going to learn a lot more about down the road. And so now, all of a sudden, in the last 10 days, 2 weeks, now that these quarterbacks are being elevated to the top of the, you know, to the front of the line, because of the uncertainty of the first three teams that are picking in this year's draft.
Now, hold on. Is it because of that? And Jim, you talk to a lot of people league-wide every single day when you do your show on satellite radio. So when you hear the talk of the quarterbacks as we approach the draft, which starts a week from tomorrow, do you believe that what Tom is saying is happening because those teams at the top are trying to get the teams at the bottom to trade up?
Well, I think that's part of it. You know, I do think that. I think there is, you know, where those scenarios can work out. And you got to have a lot of those worked out prior to the draft. Hey, who are our potential trade partners each round? And Ryan Pace will know that going into the draft. we've talked to so-and-so, they're interested in the third. If, you know, because every team stacks their board, like I said, a certain way, and it's different. And if their guy's not there, or they think he's not going to be there, hey, we better have a plan in place to trade up so that we can get our player. And I'm sure Ryan Pace has gone through all those scenarios and teams that he's talked to and what specific rounds they could be willing to trade up. And I do believe this. I think the quarterbacks, because of supply and demand, and now with the new CBA, numerous executives have said, why not just take a guy every year? Why wouldn't you take a quarterback every year? Because if you're cultivating that position, it becomes potential trade bait down the road. It becomes an asset, like what Philadelphia did. We pointed it out last week about Howie Roseman. He signed Sam Bradford. He signed Chase Daniel. They went out and signed Mark Sanchez. Then they drafted Carson Wentz. They traded up to draft Carson Wentz. And then they were able to move Mark Sanchez via trade out to Denver, and then traded once they felt Carson Wentz, yeah, he'll be all right. He can be our opening day starter. Then they traded Sam Bradford to the Minnesota Vikings. So it became an asset for the Philadelphia Eagles, and they weren't scared to do it.
Yeah, because Ron Wolf used to do it in Green Bay all the time. And maybe this is what the offseason was like for Ryan Pace. Maybe the Bears started to do that this offseason by bringing in Mike Glennon and bringing in Mark Sanchez and being in a position where potentially they could end up drafting another quarterback next week. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Out to the phones we go. Wayne is in Pontiac. And Wayne, good evening. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. I love your show. I listen to it every week. I want to have you guys discuss my pick for number three and see what you think. It's off the wall, but what do you think about Leonard Fournette? I know no one's picking him, you know, at three for the Bears, but what happens if you had him and Jordan Howard, two badass running backs, and we do maybe something in the second round for a QB, but that would be awesome to have two running backs like that. You know, he's supposed to be the next Adrian Peterson. If he's that good, then I think that would be a cool pick. No one has discussed that, and I'm sure it won't happen, but I think it would be a cool idea. Just want to get your opinion on it. Thanks. Go Bears.
Jim, go first. I'm going to attack a little bit after you.
Because our rookie fifth rounder went to the Pro Bowl, and he was second in the league in rushing. I like Jordan Howard and what he brings to the table. I'm not saying Leonard Fournette is not going to be a great player. I think he is. But I think the Bears have their bell cow guy.
Yeah, you know, Wayne, I like your thinking because obviously there's a high opinion of Leonard Fournette out there. But to me, you know, he's been banged up throughout his college career. They say he runs too vicious without the ability to avoid tacklers. And if you do that in the NFL level, you're not going to have a long career. He has limited pass protection ability. And then for I'm really still down on Fournette and Christian McCaffrey about sitting out their bowl games to try to get themselves prepared for the NFL draft. Because to me, I think about those players and what they are thinking about by leaving their team at one of the most important games. I know it's a bowl game, but what are you going to do if your football team is out of it at the end of the season? What happens if your football team has already clinched a playoff position towards the end of the season? Are these guys going to be searching for that same escape that they did in their college career? So, to me, I think there's other capable backs out there. Dalvin Cook from Florida State, he interests me as much as Leonard Fournette.
Tom, I think it's easier to play if you already have some guaranteed money in the bank. That's the difference.
We've seen a lot of players, Zach, throughout their NFL career that you're not guaranteed anything if you're paying them.
The other thing, though, is this. If you have the position that the Bears are in, third overall pick, there's certain positions that you can only get when you draft in the top five. A significant pass rusher that changes the game, a quarterback, or a big-time defensive back. I mean, the Bears, these are the positions that I think you can look for. And as the Bears showed last year, you can get a running back that's very effective later on. They got a Pro Bowl back last season late in the draft.
I agree.
Jim Miller is here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. You can join us 312-644-6767. This is our final show before the NFL draft. So a lot of predictions coming up next as we roll on here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. This is our final Bears All Access until after the NFL draft. So we're going to be making a few predictions. Zach Zaidman alongside Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you. And what I'm going to ask of you guys in just a little bit, give me one offensive player that you think the Bears would take at three and one defensive player that you think the Bears would take at three, because obviously we don't know who the 49ers are going to pick at number two, and I think that will greatly influence what the Bears plan on doing with that third overall pick. 312-644-6767 is the phone number, but before we get to your predictions, out to the phones we go. Don in Chicago, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to ask about possible trade down with the Browns. I know they're high on Trubisky, so if they take Garrett at one and then give us their 12th pick and maybe, you know, a couple second-rounders, would that be possible if they wanted to get Trubisky and Garrett? And who do you think we would take at maybe 12? I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be a lot of good players that would fall down. I mean, you know, could possibly the tight end, O.J. Howard, if that happens, that quarterbacks go early. And then we know the defensive players like Solomon Thomas and all them start to get selected and they're interested in moving down. I'm wondering if O.J. Howard potentially could become an opportunity for the Chicago Bears right around 10 or 12 that you're talking about. I think he is a phenomenal tight end.
I mean, are you still concerned about the cornerback or safety position for the Bears? Did they do enough in the offseason with their signees that are going to satisfy the Bears fans? So if there's one of those first day starters when you come onto the football field as the new Chicago Bears, if you have that corner out there that's at that mid-first round level, you got to consider that position, considering the quarterbacks you play against in this division.
All right, time for some predictions. Want to have some fun with this? Because I've been, and if you're wrong, don't worry about it, because generally no one knows what's going on in any draft room outside of the general manager, the head coach. It's a select few people that know what truly is going to happen. And then once the draft starts to unfold, you're going in a completely different direction sometimes based on your board. But what we know that Myles Garrett is going to go number one, right? Let's.
You're assuming.
I feel very good in assuming that. Okay. And I think if the Bears had the number one overall pick, I think they would take Myles Garrett as well. How about that? So I don't think I'm crazy for thinking it. Now, at two, this is where things get interesting, because say the 49ers take Solomon Thomas right in their backyard. He's at Stanford. He's the next best defensive lineman that people are talking about. Do you, at that point, decide, if you're the Bears, to stick with defense and go with, say, the names that have been linked to the Bears at that point have been guys like Jamal Adams, the safety from LSU, Marshawn Lattimore, who could be the top cornerback in the draft out of Ohio State? Or do you switch gears completely and go quarterback?
Well, I would still like Deshaun Watson. I've been kind of sticking with him since the end of the college season. He's got a bigger body of work than Mitch Trubisky to do an evaluation. And if he was gone, then defensively I'd go with Jamal Adams.
Yeah, I like Jamal Adams, the safety as well. I'm with Tom. Tom's kind of swung me a little bit on Deshaun Watson. He's grown on me as this process has gone along. And if the Bears do trade down, I mentioned potentially the offense and, to me, the defensive player they would look at if they trade down, the other corner out of Ohio State, Gerrion Conley. Get to know that guy's name. Some think he is the better corner between him and Marshawn Lattimore.
Apparently very good in press coverage, which is a huge thing when you're running the defense that the Bears are running.
Mm-hmm. So and that he's scheduled to go. Say if it was, I don't know, the hypothetical just given us was 12, O.J. Howard and Gerrion Conley are expected to fall right in that area.
All right, what happens if the 49ers take a quarterback at two? Because here is where I think things get very interesting. If you're the Bears, you know, you have Eddie Goldman, who you're high on, and if he can stay healthy, he's done a really nice job in the middle of the Bears' defense. Akeem Hicks was a terrific signing a year ago, was an impact player for them. The other side at defensive end, you know, Jonathan Bullard at one point got benched last year. The Bears sent him a message, didn't really play the kind of football I think they were looking for, and still is a guy who's developing. If you have an opportunity to grab a Solomon Thomas, you get a guy who can rush the passer. I mean, he you watch that bowl game against North Carolina. He was everywhere. If you can get that kind of an impact player immediately, and then I look at John Fox's history, you know, immediate success in Carolina because they had Julius Peppers. You look at what they did in Denver once Von Miller came into the fold. You need that kind of a difference maker on defense.
To me, the reason the defense has been successful for Vic Fangio is because he's got two interior linebackers that control the width of the field. They can drop deep middle, and they can pressure the line of scrimmage and go up against individual blocks against offensive linemen. And with the medical concern that I have for a guy like Danny Trevathan, even though he's an undersized linebacker, if you have that stud linebacker that can go, I mean, in, you know, fourth gear the entire game, I have to consider that position also.
But, guys, the Bears had 11 picks total last season. And the way I look at it, the way you change that is by pressuring the quarterback or making sure that you have very talented guys that can make plays on the football on the back end of your defense.
There is no doubt about that. Solomon Thomas is a fantastic football player with a high motor. The Bears certainly should be interested in him if he's available. Probably at that point, what Tom mentioned about inside backer, the medical recheck on Reuben Foster, I think it's going to be some time for him. He's the Alabama. I mean, he puts every ounce of energy in every tackle. I mean, that guy plays physical football, but he's got a partially torn rotator cuff. I think that would be way too high for him and why he somewhat has trickled potentially out of the top 10. There are a couple good inside backers that will be available later in the draft. Probably Jared Davis of Florida is going to go in the first round. Bears wouldn't have a shot at him at an inside backer, but come the second round, there'll be some linebackers that are available on the inside. Certainly the kid from Vandy has garnered a lot of attention when you look at Cunningham. He has got very long arms, always around the football, and maybe that's a linebacker that potentially they could target at the top of the second round.
Yeah, but you know that, you know, you bring up that question, what runs this defense for Vic Fangio? Is it defensive pressure from the offensive or from the defensive line, or is it that linebacker position? There, I think there would be help for the Bears scouts and decision makers, because I think there's going to be an obvious better than a chance pick. So, I mean, if you have a better defensive lineman to make a quality decision about, then you got to be able to make that pick. If you're taking a chance at an interior linebacker with any type of injury hiccup at this point, I don't think you have the luxury to do that right now.
Man, this is going to be an interesting week leading up to the NFL draft. We will join you following the NFL draft next Sunday, April 30th, Bears All Access Special Edition post-draft. And, man, there's going to be a lot to discuss. Guys, thank you so much for Jim Miller
Let's
and Tom
Let's hope there's Fair. A lot to discuss, because I don't want to be up here. We're talking about a question mark. So I want to be talking about guarantees.
Sounds good to me. I'm Zach Zabin. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.